So as we look at the next part of Jesus' I am statements today, which is I am the light of the world, I was thinking back to a couple of incidents that happened in my life that were reminders of the power of light and darkness. One was when I was a school principal at a private school, we would take our 6th to 8th graders to a science camp. And one of the funner events, in my opinion, was we would take them on a night hike. And one of the things that we would do during the night hike is we would create, we would have a pathway about 50 to 100 yards long, and one of us would go to the end of the pathway with a flashlight, and the other counselor would stay with the students and confiscate all of their flashlights. And then tell them they had to walk on the trail in pitch black. It was great when there was not a full moon. That was the best time, because you could literally not see your hand in front of your face. And so then we would get them to trust us and trust themselves as they would do this night hike. And you can't believe the excitement that they had when they could see this light off in the distance of the flashlight of the counselor at the other end. It made me think of that, and made me think of another time when light was so important, because I was on a houseboat trip with my sons, and one of the other dads had to pick up his son who had finished a football event at school. And so I said, well, I'll go with you, Joseph. And so Joseph took his boat, his fishing boat, ski boat. We left the houseboat with other dads and kids there. And so we took off to go to the pier to pick up Matt. And not that Matt, but another one. And we got there, picked him up, and by then it was dark. And we're in the middle of this reservoir in California, and it's dark. And all we had was a searchlight that I held up and a fish finder on Joseph's boat. So Joseph is looking at the shoreline, trying to make sure that we were staying in deep water, and I was moving the light back and forth so that we could see where we were. And I'm just holding the light, and all of a sudden Joseph says, "Oh no!" and about tipped the boat over as he turned to his right, because all of a sudden the shoreline went from really deep to right there. He said, "Shine the light over there." And we were right, like within just a few yards of the shoreline. And in my imagination, a few yards away from just being obliterated into eternity. But if we hadn't had that fish finder and that searchlight, we obviously would not have been able to see where we needed to be. And there's a reality that helps us to see clearly as we navigate through the night of life without fear. And we have a calling to that reality as well, as we are bearers of the light. And as we all know, the story of light begins with creation. In the beginning, God created light. The very first thing he created was light. And that story is at the beginning of our history, the story of the Bible, all the way to the end, which we'll look at a little bit later this morning. But to begin with this morning, I want you to watch this short video that gives us a vivid picture of what this light represents for us, if we could bring that up.
In the beginning, darkness covered the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. The true light, which gives light to everyone, came into the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It is a light for the lost, the searching and the seeking. A light for the darkest valley. A light to drive out fear, even in the shadow of death. When we believe in the light, we become children of the light. It shines in us, through us. If we walk in the light, if we let it shine before others, we become a city on a hill. The light of the world. When we let his word light our path, others will follow. We become a beacon of hope to a world in darkness. Our lives reflect the glory of his resurrection. He makes us a light for the nations, so his salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Let there be light. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
As we need the light to help us find our way in the dark, following Jesus as the light of the world helps us to find guidance, revelation, illumination, truth, salvation. Following the light provides us this revelation and pushes the ignorance of darkness, spiritual darkness, away from our lives. And this light not only provides the way, it empowers us on the way so that we can see clearly. John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20 is where I'd like us to look today. This is the scene where the disciples and Jesus are before the temple during the time of the Festival of Lights. And in verse 12, Jesus speaks to everyone listening. Speaking to them, he says, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you don't know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not alone I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I'm the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, "Therefore, where's your Father?" And Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father, because if you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not come. The implication of this passage is that Jesus shows us the way, and life without him creates a darkness that impedes us from finding the way that God has called us to follow. And I want you to keep in mind with me this morning that all the I ams of Jesus are rooted in the eternal nature of God as they take us back to Moses before the burning bush, and he asked the question, "Who should I tell them sent me?" And he says, "Tell them I am." Basically, the eternal one sent me. And every time Jesus makes one of these statements, he's reminding us of his eternal nature. He's reminding us of what he deposits in us as we embrace him and all that he brings for us. Last week, we learned that Jesus, as the bread of life, is the only source of everlasting supply. And today we learn that Jesus, as the light of the world, is the only source that will clear up all that happens in our life. And I think all of us have different situations in our life that we would like to see things more clearly. The setting that Jesus was in when this happened was before the temple. And it's known that there were these huge, tall candelabras that the Levites would literally climb on ladders to go to the top of, and carrying 65 liters of fluid to put in the bowls at the top of these candelabras. And then they would light the wicks of either four or five of the candelabras, and you can imagine the bright, bright light that would shine. And as the light was shining, they would begin to dance and they would begin to celebrate the light of God. And I can't resist. I told Kathy I was going to do this, and she said, "Not to, but I'm going to anyway." And I like to imagine that they were singing together, "I can see clearly now this..." No, not really. Oh, I got you started. Now I can't get you to stop. But as they danced before the Lord in this exotic festival, they were celebrating the great pillar of fire that had led the Israelites through the wilderness into the promised land. And be mindful of the fact that these great torches and the light that shone from these torches symbolized the Shekinah glory of God. They would recognize that and imagine that these lights were actually literally transporting them in the very presence of God's glory. John was surely thinking of this scene when he wrote in the opening prologue of John in this gospel. He says in John 1:14, "We have seen his glory, glory as the Son from the Father." The theme of light, it weaves itself through scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. If you do a search of the theme of light, you'll be searching for a long, long time, I assure you. Because light is the first act of creation and the forever reality of the new heavens and the new earth. I'm sure you're familiar with a passage in Psalm 119, 105 that says, "God's word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path." John 1 calls Jesus the Word, who was God, and the true light. And so, the reality is the light comes to all of us. But the reason I read that whole passage is because we're just like the Pharisees, who resisted the message of Jesus, and instead of hearing the message, "I'm the light of the world," the first thing they wanted to do was argue with him. The first thing they wanted to do was question him. And I don't know about you, but I think that's what we all do in our lives. As God brings his light into our life, we go, "God, really? Could you shine your light a little different direction than that?" We always think we know better, and then we go into the darkness, and then he comes and he brings his light, and we're able to sing that song, "I Can See Clearly Now," and everything begins to work out. The reality is, first of all, that the light of Christ is resisted by the power of darkness in our life. Darkness will resist the light, as the Pharisees argued with Jesus when he made this claim. And he speaks very clearly that that's an indictment on all of us as well. Look at what he says in John, as recorded in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Here's a profound statement for you. Darkness is really dark. And if we have found Jesus, we don't have to hide from the dark anymore. No matter how dark our days might have become, God sent his Son Jesus to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. His light doesn't make the darkness any less dark. It just conquers every shadow with something stronger than any darkness that you could ever imagine. This means that we don't have to pretend the darkness isn't dark after all. That cancer isn't devastating a family. That's dark, but there's a light brighter than that darkness. Divorce doesn't really shatter everyone involved. That's darkness. But the light can overcome that darkness. Whatever darkness you're facing personally isn't really that hard or painfully scary when it's compared to the light of Christ. The path of darkness is not believing in Jesus. The path of darkness is habitually practicing sin. The path of darkness is becoming a slave to sin. All of us know what that's like. We've all been in that place at one time or another. And there's forms of darkness that we've experienced. Darkness caused by depression or grief. Darkness caused by confusion and chaos. Darkness caused by the brokenness of the world. Darkness caused by our own hard-heartedness. The Pharisees' hard-heartedness shows us another reality. When Jesus is loved and followed and trusted, he becomes light. But when he's neglected, the shadows of darkness begin to descend. I don't know if you realize this, but the founder of Playboy, Hugh Hefner, was raised in a pastor's home. Joseph Stalin, who's responsible for the genocide of millions of people, studied for the priesthood. Mao Zedong, the communist dictator, who again was responsible for the deaths of thousands or millions of people. Mao Zedong was raised under the teaching of missionaries. But darkness descended into their lives. The reality is, for all of us, everyone, the very light of Christ in our lives can be obscured. But the good news is, the power of the light of Christ will overcome darkness in our lives. Let me try that again. The power of the light of Christ will overcome darkness in our lives. Amen. That is good news, everybody. That's really good news for all of us because we are totally dependent on that light. God is always working, even in the darkness. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you look at the creation story, it says there was evening and there was morning the first day. We always think that the day starts when the sun rises. But you know what's going on when the sun rises? God's been at work for the last 12 hours when the sun comes up because his day starts in the evening. And the reality is we have the privilege when we get up in the morning and say, God, what have you been doing for the last 12 hours and what can I join in and do with you at this moment? Because God is always working, even in the darkness, even when we can't see before us, even when we can't see the way, God is always working. Each morning as the sun rises, all that seems obscured by darkness is revealed to us so we can clearly see the path before us. John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And in Christ he has shined his light into every hidden corner of our darkness. He was not afraid of the dark, but he came into our darkness to drive out the darkness of our life. John 1:9 says, the true light, Jesus, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world, coming into a very, very dark world with the intent of driving out the darkness to make sure that the darkness did not prevail. And he left the safety of heaven to walk into the shadows with us, to die in these shadows so that we might leave them behind. And then he rose from the darkness to prove that the darkness had been stripped of its power in the name of Jesus. Here's the thing about shadows and the reason we need even the shadows to be driven out. And that's what we sang about this morning when we were singing, I Speak Jesus. We speak to the shadows and we say, shadows be gone because the light of Christ is shining. I was remembering, and I don't know if I got all the details straight because I forgot to check with Kathy, but when she was growing up, you remember those things that you'd have in the house to hang clothes on because you didn't have a dryer, couldn't hang them out on the clothesline, and those wooden racks you'd hang the shirts and pants on. You know, if you're under 10 or under 12, you don't even know what I'm talking about. But anyway, they'd be in the hallway, and Kathy would tell me that as a little girl, in the darkness of the hallway and the pants and the shirts hanging on those things, she would stand there and imagine, there's a guy in the hallway. Because of the shadows that were represented by those racks and those shirts and pants hanging there. That's what shadows do. Shadows make us think that the darkness has prevailed over the light. But the good news, everyone, is the converse is true. Because the light has prevailed over the darkness and over the shadows. Light has always been a sign of God's revelation in his presence. From the burning bush that Moses encountered, to the pillar of fire that the Israelites followed in the desert, to the visible Shekinah glory that once rested on the temple, the presence of light has long been equated with the presence of God. When Moses came off of Mount Sinai, his face was shining so brightly, the people couldn't look on his face. Oh man, wouldn't that be amazing? That we could not look at each other because the brightness of his glory was so bright. And not surprisingly, the light was always, always associated with the Messiah. And it's his light that helps us navigate the darkest valley. It's his light that drives out the darkness of fear. It's his light that reveals our true identity against the darkness of sin. The light of Christ, writes John Piper, and I love this quote, the light of Christ is the brightness of God shining on the retina of the human soul. I know something about that because I had torn retinas several years ago, and I have to go to the ophthalmologist for tests to make sure that the tears, the lasers that were done for the tears are still holding and I don't have any other tears. And so the ophthalmologist puts this little contraption on his head, with a light. Like he looks like a gold miner or something. And it has a magnifier on the end of the light. And then he leans over and he starts looking in my eyes and he says, look up and look right, upper right and to the right. And by the time, because that light is so bright, I have tears flowing down my face because of the brightness of the light on the retina of my eyes. But let's let the brightness of his light shine on the retina of our soul so he gets down deep and he drives out anything that represents darkness in our life. The light of Christ is what makes everything clear. Isaiah recorded in Isaiah chapter 9. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish in the former time. He brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made the glorious way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Am I with a people on whom the light of Christ has shone today? Am I with a people on whom the light of Christ has shone today? You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. And the only reason we're going to have the privilege of dividing the spoil is because we've lived in the light. The path of light. The path of light includes following Jesus with all of our heart. The path of light includes knowing Jesus with all of our mind, being true disciples of Jesus. The path of light is abiding in Jesus' word and making it prominent and preeminent in our life. The light of Jesus is knowing the truth. The light of Jesus is being a son or a daughter. The light of Jesus is being of God. God is not afraid of the darkness in this world. And he's not afraid of the darkness that might still exist in you and I. When he found us, we were not only trapped in darkness, as we read earlier, we love darkness rather than the light. That's our default, by the way. And one reason the darkness around us is so terrifying is that we see so much of it ourselves in that darkness. We see our weaknesses, our fears, our brokenness, our sin. And for many of us, no darkness around us is more intimidating than our own darkness. But the good news, everybody, the good news is that we have put our faith in Christ. And it's God who said, let light shine out of the darkness. Let light shine out of the darkness. That's what he said to every one of us that are following him. Let light shine out of their darkness. He has shown in our hearts, not just out there in the world, but in each of our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Every time the Father looks in the face of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you in his omniscient ability, in his omnipotent ability, he sees every one of your faces in his face because of the light of Christ. And in the same way he turned on the blinding sun in the galaxy of the darkness, he opened the eyes of your heart to see the glory of his Son. He banished your darkness. He banished your darkness, and he made you, in exchange, a lover of the light. And the remaining darkness in you trembles at the sound of his name. That's why we get conviction of sin and we start feeling like, whoa, what's wrong with me? It's called light into darkness. And we enjoy the freedom and forgiveness of walking away with him in his victory, and then we run back into the darkness to call others into that light. We sing Jesus over all of our fears and insecurities and over our guilt and our shame, and then we take that same song and we sing Jesus over the life of others. Light does the following things. It causes growth. It causes us to feel better. There is such a disorder known as seasonal affective disorder. When you have a lack of vitamin D and a lack of light, the reality is you start feeling down and despondent. And when the light of Christ shines into our life, somehow our spirits are lifted. He gives direction. He reveals darkness and disperses the shadows. He actually gives us hope. So not only is this light bearing down on us and changing us, But as it's changing us from the inside out, we have a responsibility to take the light to others. And that's why we are bearers of the light of Christ in order to help others overcome darkness in their lives. In the next chapter of John, John chapter 9, Jesus makes the statement again, I am the light of the world, but it's in the context of healing the eyes of a blind man. And the Pharisees are really perturbed and troubled by this blind man because he's going around saying, this person, this guy that calls himself the Messiah, he healed my eyes and I can see now. And they say, well, who was at fault? Was it your parents or was it you, all the sin in your life? You know, who are you to tell us what to do? He goes, I have no idea. All I know is I was once blind, but now I see. That's the testimony of everyone in this room. I was once blind, and now I see. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't deserve it, but I was blind, and I now see. It was Saul who became Paul. Saul was blinded by the light from heaven. And I think if Paul had a quote to say, this is what he would say. I thought I could see. I was blinded. And now I can see clearly in a way that I never imagined possible. And I think that's more of a reality for most of us than even the story of the blind man. How many of us thought, we've got it all together. We know what we're doing in our life. Our marriage is all together. We know how to be a father or mother. We know how to help people. And we realize we had no clue what we were doing because we were doing it in the dark. We were in the dark and the blinding light of Christ shone into our life and changed everything. And now we realize we can see in a way we never could see before. We are bearers of the light because we were blind and now we see. That's why Isaiah, the words of Isaiah are so important for us to grab a hold of this morning, personally, prophetically, in whatever way you need to grab a hold of it. Here's what it says. Arise, shine, for your light has come. You know, if we weren't so baptistic in this place, I'm just kidding. If we were a little more charismatic, we probably would jump out of our chairs right now with the words, arise, shine, for our light has come. Because that is a good word for all of us in our lives. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness of peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Now those words were spoken to the people of Israel, but they were spoken prophetically to the followers of Jesus. And his light is shining on us, and we have a privilege and a responsibility to say his light is shining upon us and we can stand up and we shout from the mountaintops so that others can hear about this light and receive that light as well. John records in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome the worst in the world, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Why? Because he's the light. Jesus says, in the world you've seen tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. How has he overcome the world? With the light. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 14, Paul says, therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Everybody look at each other for just a minute and say, walk as a child of the light. Walk as a child of the light. Tell them. It says, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Several years ago, I had cataract surgery. I've had horrible eyesight since I was in third grade. And I will never, ever forget when I had the first eye surgery done, the first cataract removed. I came out of that surgery suite, walked into the waiting room. I saw colors more vivid than I thought ever possible in my life. The sky looked bluer than I thought blue was possible. The flowers, the colors were so vivid in such a way that I never thought possible. I had no idea how the cataract had created shadows on my retina in such a way that I couldn't see the way I was supposed to see. Isn't that really what Jesus has done for all of us in our spirits? He's allowed us to see things and we go, wow, I never knew it could be like this. We see people in a way that we can love them in a way that we never thought possible. Because instead of seeing the ugliness in their soul, we see the gold that's underneath all of that. We go, hey, there's something there that if we shine light there, if you'll shine the light there with me, there's something I can call out of you and you can join with me when we say, arise, shine, for the light has come. Matthew chapter 5 is the record of the Sermon on the Mount. And I love the Message paraphrase. Here, another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under the bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, the generous Father in heaven. Remember the old Sunday school song? Hiding under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Man, we need to walk out of it. We need to march out of this place singing that today. Come on now. Paul says in Ephesians something very interesting because he uses the same picture of the God colors. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery of ages, for the ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, the multifaceted, multicolored wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities and the heavenly places. I kind of have this idea that whatever the color spectrum is, we ain't seen nothing yet. I think you look at the colors and you go, wow, I never thought of that color. You go to the pick out colors to paint and stuff, and they go, oh, look at that color they came up with, and wow, I've never seen that before. What do you think eternity is going to be like? We're going to see colors like we never imagined possible, because the light of Christ is going to be shining in such a way that we're going to see things the way they really are. If you're unable to see clearly through your circumstances, turn the light of Christ your way. If you have never known the light, if you've been resisting the light and embracing the darkness, today's the day. With God's help, let him drive the power of the darkness out of your life, so you can be set free once and for all. That's available to everyone this morning. If you need to see the path more clearly before you, shine the light of Christ on your path. And if you need to know, if you know someone who can't see clearly, hold the light of Christ up high in order for the darkness to be dispelled from their lives. I got to tell you something. Paul Jackson was telling me the other day that, you know, he goes over to this assisted living facility to preach the gospel. What'd you tell me, Paul? Two people came to Christ last week. Yeah, that's a good thing right there. And that's because this humble man just took the light of Christ and said, here's the light. And people resisted the darkness. And now they can see in a way they haven't ever seen before. Hey, the last thing is this. The glory of the light of Christ will extinguish darkness forever. Let me say that again. The glory of the light of Christ will extinguish darkness forever. I mean, that's pretty simple to see as you go to the end of the story, because in the same way it's as Jesus was resurrected, it says on the dawn of that third day, as the sun and the sun rises, the tears of mourning to joy turn to joy, the temporary escape from permanent deliverance, the dragon is crushed, never to enslave again. And Jesus asked the disciples, why do you seek the living among the dead? Or he could have said, why do you seek the living among the darkness? The angel asking that question said this statement, he's not here, but he's risen. Never to succumb to the darkness of the tomb ever, ever again. We all know that we face death. We all know that we're going to have to go through the darkness of death. But here's the good news we all know, that on the other side of that darkness, as we pass through death, as Jesus passed through death for us, we are going to enter a land that is brighter than any land we've ever seen before. And that's what the promise is as we finish this morning. That's what the promise is of Revelation chapter 21. From the beginning of the story, God saying, let there be light. We know that the end of the story is going to be this. And I didn't see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city doesn't need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. I mean, this is kind of simplistic, but aren't you glad there won't be flickering light bulbs up there? Aren't those aggravating? There will be no night there. Jesus said, when he taught us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'd like to invite you to stand together. And if that's what Jesus taught us to pray, there's a place where light is shining that's going to be shining for all of eternity. And so the prayer that we have the privilege to pray is, what's true in heaven, Lord, we're praying that it would be true right here. I'd invite you to bow your heads for just a moment. And I'm pretty sure there are probably situations in your life. I know there are situations in some of the lives of your family, your immediate family, your extended family, where because of sickness, because of difficulties, because of despair, the darkness seems to be prevailing. But with the authority that we have in Christ, and with the privilege that we have to say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, join me as I pray. Let's pray together. I invite you to pray corporately with me, but join me as I pray. Father, we pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and in any area, any pocket, any corner of our lives or our family's lives where there is darkness that's caused because of the effects of a broken world, in the name of Jesus, we drive out the darkness this morning. We drive out the darkness. We push back the darkness, not because of any strength or power we have in ourselves, but because of the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. And we take part in that authority. We take our authority seriously, Lord. And we want to exercise that authority, not for our sake, but for your glory. And so that just as we have been able to declare, arise, shine, for your light has come. We pray today that today would be the day that there are people that can also join with us and say, I can stand up, I can arise, because the light has come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's remain standing as we close in worship.